and that they don't go out to the house of God at all. And they sit home, and sometimes they watch TV, and they say, well, they don't need to go to church. They can watch the preaching on TV, and this and that and the other. But you know something? They're away from the Lord. If you can't fellowship with God's people, and you can't talk to your brother and sister in the Lord, and you're away from the Lord, there's something wrong. Well, I want us to read a few verses here tonight, and just let us look at the life of Elimelech, and see if we can gather something from it that might perhaps do us some good and prevent us maybe from doing the self-same thing that he did. Verse 1 says, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. And the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there, or remained there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and of her husband. Now you remember that God was with the children of Israel. God had always proved himself faithful and true to the children of Israel, even when on many occasions they had turned their backs upon God, after God had performed so many wonderful miracles in their place. Yet, many times the children of Israel turned their backs upon God, but God always remained true to them. He always proved himself to be the true and the faithful God Jehovah. Now, the problem was, Elimelech said there was a famine in the land. That was his excuse for leaving the land of Israel to go down to the land of Moab. There was a famine in the land. He made up an excuse to get out of God's house, you know, or to get out of the place where God had placed him. And he used that to take him down into the land of Moab. Now, some of us might say, well, that was a very foolish thing, because perhaps if he would have stayed a little longer, the grounds might have brought forth some fruit, and he would have not had to go on. But you see, as we look at Elimelech, sometimes we have to place ourselves in also its position. How many of us make up some very sometimes foolish excuse for the reason why we don't go to church, or for the reason why we don't talk to so-and-so, or for the reason why we're in the condition that we're in? We always have some excuse or another from it. And you know something? Most of the time, it's more foolish than what Elimelech's reason was. This man said he was going to try to provide for his family. So he moved down into the land of Moab. He left the house of God for what? What did Moab represent? The world, place where God had put judgment on. And that's the place where he moved his family from, out of the house of God, from in God's dwelling place, into the world. And listen, young people, young and old as well, any time that we take ourselves out of God's hands, any time that we take ourselves from out of the house of God and we put ourselves out into the world, you can rest assured you're going to fall. You'll never stand firm if you take yourself away from God's people and away from God's word. More precious is his word to you. You need to have the word of God in your heart. But when we leave all of that behind and we put ourselves into Satan's domain, we're just leaving ourselves wide open for him to attack us. While he moved into Moab, something happened. The first thing was, he died. You see? He was worried about living in the land of Israel because he thought he might starve to death. There was a famine in the land. And he went down to Moab and he died anyway. The second thing was, both of his sons did something that Scripture plainly teaches us they were not supposed to do. Right? What was that? You know? They were unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's exactly right. Now, if you get that in the New Testament, right, the Bible teaches us that we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And the Israelites, God had clearly stated in His Word that they were not to marry outside of Israel. So the first thing they did when they got down there, they went and they took themselves wives of the land of Moab. They had women of the world. And let me tell you something, young people. I know you've heard it preached on many times. You probably heard it from this pulpit. You probably heard it in the classroom. And yet there still are many people that just will not let it sink down into their hearts and into their minds that it is not the will of God for the believer to be married to the unbeliever. It will cause problems every single time. I don't care how many times it happens somewhere along the way. Sometime it may go well for a year. It may go well for 2 years, but somewhere along the way, trouble will come. It's bound to come. Because the Bible teaches us that light doesn't have any fellowship with darkness, right? I mean, if you're in a room, and I know it's an illustration that's been used 1,000 times. If you're in a dark room and you turn on light, darkness is dispelled. It goes away. So the two of them cannot be yoked together. The two of them cannot be together. When the sun rises, day comes, the darkness is gone. When the sun goes down and the sun sets, then darkness steps in. The two of them are never there together. And it was never intended, and not the will of God, nor taught in His Word, that the Christian and the unchristian be yoked together and bonded together, because hey, it just can't happen. It just don't work. You can try it if you like, but every single time you will pay the price for disobeying the Word of God. Now, some people don't like to hear that, but that's what the Word of God says. You will pay the price if you do it. And I'll never forget the time. I think it was, Maybe it was Morris that used the illustration and brought, I think it was Bentley up here and put him in a bucket and asked him to lift himself up, you know, inside of that bucket, and he couldn't do it. But it was very easy for somebody to pull him down. And it's the same way as a Christian that marries the unbeliever. We always say, well, you never know. I may get him converted. I may get her converted if I marry them like that. I mean, who knows what will happen? I may be the cause of bringing them to the Lord. But if they haven't come to know the Lord before you were saved, what gives you the idea that you're going to bring them afterwards? You know? You should be concerned about that before. Because, like we said, it's easy for them to pull you down, but it's very difficult for you to pull them up to your standard. While they were in the land of Moab, misery came. Misery came to Naomi. Her name in the Bible means pleasant. Naomi meant pleasant. But the Bible says that when she left out of the land of Moab, she said to her daughters-in-law, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. And you know what that meant? She said, the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. She paid an awful price. While she was in the land, I guarantee you they were some of the most miserable people on the face of the earth. They were not happy. They were not satisfied. They couldn't be satisfied because they had left their own dwelling place. They had left the place where they had been born and brought up. They had left the place where God had placed them and gone somewhere that was completely out of the will of God. So they lived in misery for the old time that they dwelt into the land of Moab. He paid a great price for leaving. Elimelech died, and the Bible says the two sons died. Naomi had to return back to Judah alone, along with her daughter-in-law that chose to follow her. And you know, I was reading that portion, and I began to think, you know, what a bad example Naomi was to her in-laws. You remember when they were on the way back, both of them began to follow them, or began to follow her, and Naomi turned to him and said, "Look, don't follow me. I don't want you to follow me. God has dealt bitterly with me. Go back to your mothers. Go back to your pagan gods. Go back to your people that worships idols, and stay there. I don't want you to come with me." And you know what? One of them did and took the advice of Naomi. While she was in her backslidden condition, they took her advice. You see, don't take advice from people that is away from the Lord, because they'll only take you down further. And Naomi said to her, "Go back to your pagan gods." And look, could you think how many times that she probably, those words rang through her ears after she got back into the land of Israel, after she got back to God, after she had given her life and turned her life back over to God? How many times those words must have rung through her ears? "I sent her back to the world. I sent her back to her pagan gods. I probably am the cause of her going out into a lost eternity." Because all because they were away from God. So listen, young people, and older ones as well, when problems come our way, don't let's just run away from it. Right? If we think we're going to run away from it, we go run a little bit further, we try to leave this church, and we go to another church, and when we finally get to that church, they got more problems than your church had. Or if we go somewhere else to live, and we move into another community, and we find out, well, there's bigger gossipers here than what's in Spanish Wales. You see? We don't run away from God. Jonah tried that, and he was swallowed by the great whale, right? Or by the fish, trying to run from God. We can't run from God, because God will find us wherever we are. He's going to find us. He knows where we are. The thing for us to do is to face our problems. And when Satan attacks us, because he will attack us, that's his job, and he's not going to slack up in his job. That's one man that gives an honest day's work. Satan gives an honest day's work. He doesn't slack up in his job. He works 24 hours a day, Bellamar. It's more than what you do. Pounding away, trying to steal away lives, trying to steal away the lost, to keep the lost from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to rob the Christian of his joy. That's his job, and he don't slack up. So don't let us expect for him to do it, because he won't. But what we have to do is to do what the Bible clearly teaches us, and that is to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to withstand him. We don't do that by just looking him in the face and saying, "I'm not going to listen at you today." No, you don't do it like that. But we can do it if we have the Word of God as our shield. And when he comes our way, and when he tempts us to do something that's wrong and to do things that we shouldn't be doing, we can look at him and say, "Listen, that's not what God's Word tells me to do. That's a complete opposite of what God's Word tells me to do. And I'm not going to do it. I'm going to remain true to the Lord Jesus Christ." And if we're living, we are indeed living in a day when those of us that claim to be Christians need to be true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the world is out there looking. The world is, that the devil is out there destroying. And the first thing that the unsaved people do is to look at Christians. Oh, you ever heard, and I know there's not one single person probably in here tonight that's never heard that same old story. Well, there's too many hypocrites in the church, you know. That's why I'm not coming to the... I can't accept Christ. There's too many hypocrites in the church. There's too many people that profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ that I know I live a better life than what they do. But the one thing that they failed to understand is this. That however big a hypocrite I am, and however many times I have failed him, God has washed my sins away. And I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to have to answer to God for my sins and for the things that I've done wrong. God's going to deal with me for that. And God will deal with any person here tonight that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because of what they are, not because of what I am or any other Christian in this meeting tonight. He will deal with you on an individual basis. That's how he operates. God deals with us individually, not as a collective group. He's going to deal with me, and he's going to deal with you. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're still in Moab, you've never been out of Moab, you're still into the world tonight, then I want you to come into Bethlehem, Judah. And I want you to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But if you are a Christian, and you've gotten away from the Lord, I trust that you'll come back tonight. You'll do like Naomi did. You'll turn around and say, I'm going back home. I'm going back to my God. And do just that tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you tonight again for your precious word, because we realize that it plainly teaches us that indeed it is a light unto our pathway, and that it will prevent us from doing things that we should not do. And we pray, Lord, that we might have a greater knowledge of what the Scripture teaches. And we pray for each one here tonight. I pray that if it be one that has gotten away from the Lord Jesus Christ here tonight, that indeed they may turn around and come back home and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and acknowledge your sin and their wrong. And if there are those here tonight too that need a personal touch by thee, Father, we pray that they may leave the things of this world behind tonight, and that they might accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their very own personal Savior, the one who died for them on the cross of Calvary, as the girl sang tonight. God still loves the world. He's still awaiting patiently for those that are still rejecting him to open the door of their hearts and to let him in. We trust that we might have the joy of hearing of some doing just that tonight. Bless us now as we part, and give thanks in the Lord Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen.